Good morning. Thanks for coming out. You know, I was thinking about the storm, and I said, nobody going to be in church tomorrow. But the Lord has spared us again, yeah? And that's when you got to say, God is good. Yeah. When I thought of this title, God's Passion for You, the reason it kind of stirred my heart is that a lot of us know from the past that Christianity has not always been good. And the reason I say that is if you go back to the 1800s, Christianity was a very forceful thing. They wanted everybody saved. They had a passion to get everybody to know God and be and make Him as their Lord and Savior. But the ways that they did it, I watched the movies today, and a lot of it, of course, is Hollywood, but they kind of show us stuff that me, myself, I wouldn't agree on following a king, and I mean a worldly king that was trying to get me to come to know God, even though he had a passion for God. And even when we know the story about when the missionaries came to Hawaii, they actually made us change. They took away our language. They had us dressed like them. And all in the name of Christ, which there were things that I disagree on the way they did it. And so it really stirred my heart to say, I'm glad they brought the Lord to us. But they could have done it in a more loving way, a more kind way. And what it does for me now is to say that as a pastor, I want to present the gospel in such a way that people can understand that God loves them. Amen? Yeah. And so that's kind of how I got stirred up with this message. I'm a movie guy. I like to watch movies. I saw this show a long time ago called The Guardian with Kevin Costner. It's about a rescuing. And I took a phrase that was said in the show that I want to share with you. And this is what they said. I quote, "They never appreciate you until they need you." Can you imagine that, all the rescue guys? Yeah, when they get the calls. Help me, help me. But until then, oh, they're all macho, you know. And I thought about taking this phrase and say that there are times in our lives that we never appreciate God until we need Him. We never realize, or we forget. Forget. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, all these guys saying stuff, it's in my message, you know. We forget that everything we own, everything we are, comes from God. Without God, there would be nothing in our lives. The Bible says this, and if you notice on your bulletin and up on the outline, I only gave you scriptures today. I want you to see what God says. But there is a few lines there on the other side that you might want to take notes on. I'm going to give you points. You might want to take them down. But this is what 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 16 says. Everything has come from you, talking about God, and everything belongs to you. So it all starts with God. And I'm going to say this right from the start. God loves you. He loves you with a passion. It's man that jams everything up, the way we present God. God cares so much that we know the story. Sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Not God's fault for anything. It's man's fault how we do the presentation. We got to really think about how we should present ourselves. Because when we receive the Lord, there's such a zeal that comes upon our lives that we want to go out and get everybody saved. And we say things like, turn or burn. Ah, it's not the way. We got to say, God loves you. He loves you so much with a passion. And so it all starts with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourself. It was a gift from who? God, not man, from God. God has proof of his love for us. And that is, number one, he saves us. He saves us. Julie, you know when you guys come up at the end of the service, can we sing that song? I know you probably have one. I don't know if it's the song, but he saved us to show his mercy. He saved us to show his grace. Yeah. I was looking at the words and I said, that's the message today. Yeah. You have been saved by grace through believing, Ephesians chapter 2 says. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. So he saves us. And we do not and cannot save ourselves. God saves us. And he does it by his grace. Why? Because he loves us. So what is grace? Grace is everything God does for you, even though you don't deserve it. Grace is God giving you what you need, not what you deserve. The Bible says that everything you have comes by grace. Everything God does in you and through you and for you and to you and by you is by grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. It's just a free gift. Every time I order something from Amazon or eBay, I look if there's free shipping. You know, it costs a lot to get something to Hawaii. Free. That's God's grace. And so he saves us. In the book of Psalms 103, there is a list from verse 1 to 10 of some of the things that God does in our lives by grace. And it says, I will not forget the glorious thing God does for me. He forgives all my sins. Everybody say all. What does all mean?
All.
You're so smart. All means all. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender to those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us and we deserve. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you what you deserve? If you don't understand God's love for you, his passion for you, if you don't understand the grace of God, you have no idea what bad shape you are in without him in your life. Let me summarize this in one word. Hopeless. You had no meaning, no purpose in your life. Guilt, fear, bitterness, worry, regrets. You had nothing that you could do to get rid of those stuff. You had no hope for the future. You were heading for hell and not heaven. There was nothing that you could do about it. You would never be good enough to earn your salvation, but God came along in his wonderful love and said, I'm just going to show you grace. I'm going to show you my passion for you. And he said, I will save you. See, your life is not an accident. You were made for a reason. You were made for a purpose. And it's because of this great love that God has for you that when we ask him into our lives, he saves us. Saves us from what? Write this one on your outline. This is number two. God has prepared for me a home in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We know that our body will be destroyed. But when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last, say it, forever. What does forever mean? Yeah. Every human being that has ever been created, God made them, not just for this time here on earth. God makes human beings to last forever. And one day your body is going to die. How many of you know that? One day you're going to die. Okay. The ones that never raise your hand, you're going to die one day. Okay. You know, I say that at all the funerals because these bodies don't last. Right? They will decay. They're going to fall apart. And they cease to exist. But that's not going to be the end of you. The Bible says that you were created in God's image, and that means you have a soul. You will spend eternity in one or two places, heaven or hell. Depending on whether you ask Christ into your life and trusted in his grace or not. Heaven and hell are real places. They're not just some figment of somebody's imagination. They are real places. In fact, Jesus talked more about heaven and hell than he did a lot of other things. And I guess he knows more about it than you and me. He says that they are real places. And he saves us from hell. Now listen, as Christians, we don't have to be afraid of the future. Christians of all people are supposed to be the most confident about death because we know where we're going. And I like to put it this way. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Now, we all know that we're going to die. In fact, the latest statistics tell us that in America, the mortality rate is 100%. Every human being is terminal. It's just a matter of time. But we don't have to be afraid of that. We can actually be thankful to God because of his love for us, because of his passion for us, and he shows us his grace. And while we're here on earth, he has a plan for us. And when we leave this earth, if we have trusted in Christ and his grace, he is going to take us to heaven. Amen? Amen. A home in heaven. What is heaven like? I'll give you four words. You might want to write it down. Reunited. And that means in heaven, we are going to be reunited with loved ones who are believers. We're going to see those again who've known the Lord and who have trusted in Christ. We're going to be able to fellowship and love each other. They're reunited with those loved ones. The next word is rewarded. My mom always had a problem with that word. She said, I don't want any rewards from God. His love is enough. I said, sorry, Mom, but you're going to get rewarded. The Bible says so. No, I don't want. The Bible says in heaven we will be rewarded for our faith, rewarded for our service, rewarded for our trust in Christ, rewarded for our faithfulness in praying and serving and giving and sharing. And there will be eternal rewards. The Bible is very, very clear about that. Let me say something to all the servants in this church. You get up early in the morning on Sunday mornings and at different times. And you're here setting up chairs and setting up all the sound systems and leading worship and taking care of the children and all that. I'm going to tell you something. Your rewards are going to be great. And if you ever feel discouraged because nobody else is doing it, you're getting the rewards, not them. That's what the Bible says. The next word is reassign. In heaven, you will be reassigned things to do that are fulfilling. You got that word? Fulfilling in heaven. I know a lot of people who have jobs here on earth that are not fulfilling. I know that you go out fishing sometime, like me, and catch nothing, and that's not fulfilling. Very expensive. It'll be fulfilling in heaven. So many people think that when you get to heaven, you're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp all day long. I think that is so boring. And this whole thing about heaven being all white, heaven is going to have lots of color, folks, because God invented color. And if you think that the whole world is beautiful, if this world is beautiful, I think so. I mean, I've been to Alaska, and from a cruise ship, you look at all these mountains, the majestic mountains that God has created, nothing compared to heaven. Heaven is going to be beautiful because it's perfect. It's going to blow your mind. Your senses will be fully aware because there won't be any sin to hold you back. You will be reassigned work to do there. And then the fourth word is release. The Bible says that in heaven we will all be released, listen to this one, from pain, from fear, from depression, from sorrow, from conflict, from tears, from stress. The Bible says there will be no more tears in heaven. There will be no more sorrow, only great joy. So who is heaven made up for? This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 6. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will make sure you get there safely to receive it because you're trusting in him. So be truly glad. Here's some questions. Does everybody go to heaven? No. Heaven is only for his children. How do you get to be his child? By asking in faith to become part of his family, by trusting in his son, Jesus Christ. You're saved by simply accepting God's gracious gift of his grace and his love for you. And once you've accepted that gift, you put your hand in his hand, and it is his power, not your own power, that keeps you saved. I don't care what happens in my life. I know the finish line. I know the end of the story. No matter what happens in the rest of my life, I am ending up in heaven. And I'm so thankful for that. I am grateful to God that he didn't put my salvation in my own hands and leave it up to me. Because what if I blow it in the last hour before I die? I say that's great news. It's in God's hands. So God's passion for me makes me so grateful. I'm grateful to God for the grace that he's shown me, and I'm grateful to God for the home that he's prepared for me. But not only for his grace and the home he is for me, I am so grateful that because he loves me, he is helping making change in my life. Are you following me? Oh, my wife tried to change me so much. And she failed. I don't like to be changed. But you know, when I understand God's passion for me, and I understand how much he loves me and what he has done for me, I allow him to change my life. I allow him to do things that I could never do on my own. And I am so glad that I am not the same person I used to be. You see, God sees your potential when nobody else sees it. Doc, you want me to use the handheld? Is it bothering you guys?
No?
Okay. Okay. So God sees your potential when nobody else sees it, even when everybody else is writing you off and saying that you're worthless, God says, no, I see the diamond in you. I made you. I value you. I'm going to start making some changes in you. And the moment that you let him save you, he starts chipping away at your life, changing you and making you different. And then my wife says to me, honey, you're a better husband. I've been trying to get you to be like that for years. What happened? God happened. And you just come to him with the good, the bad, and the ugly. He loves you so much that he will take you just as you are, but he loves you so more much to let you stay that way. So he starts making changes in your life and starts making changes in my life. And then what happens is not only that I get better, but my wife gets better. And then my marriage gets better. And then we become better parents. And then we become better workers at the job site. All these things go on and on because of God and his great passion for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. You see, he not only gives you desire, he gives you power to do what is right. Let me explain to you something that happened in my life. I was never able to say I'm sorry and really mean it. How many of you say sorry but do not mean it? Yeah. Lord, how come I gotta say sorry to my wife? She's way shorter than me. I'm the boss. But God said, you got to learn to ask for forgiveness. Sorry. Huh? Anybody ever said it like that? Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Shake hands. No, I don't like shake hands. You know why you don't want to? You do not have the power to do so. And that's why God gives you the power to go up and say, I am really sorry. I'm so sorry. And because that power, after my wife gets up from falling down and fainting, what happened to you? What's wrong? Why are you speaking differently now? You're not swearing like you used to. Only because of the power of God's life for you. So you not only gives you the desire to do what is right. He gives you the power. You see, God never asks you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to do. For those of you who are already Christians, many of you have seen radical change in your life or in your spouse's life that no one else could ever make happen. God made happen. There is no human being, there is no program, there is no therapy that could ever be possibly done in a person's life to change marriages and to change your relationship and change in your changes in your own life that stick, that are strong, that only comes from God. I think that the problem is, are you ready? We actually forget. What is it? What it's like to live without hope, to live without help, to live without God's power and presence and peace and protection in our lives. That's why I said it from the very beginning. We do not appreciate God until we need him. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, he starts changing us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. Now, this is what we need to know. Because of God's great love, because of his passion for us, his goal is to make us godly, to make us Christ-like. that everyone here would choose to welcome him into your life. You know, it's like a marriage. Did you know that 49 years ago, when I said I do to Bernadette Bebaro, took her as my wife, at that time, I had no full meaning of what the words I do meant. I was just a young kid. And from that time and for the rest of my life, I am acting out and learning what it means to say I do to a person. Now listen carefully. When we say I do to Jesus Christ, it is the beginning of a new life in Christ, and we do not understand it all. But as you grow as a Christian, you will begin to understand what it means. You see, the purpose of this church is to help you grow. Each Sunday, each Wednesday, every meeting, every Bible study, its purpose is to help you grow, to learn what it means to be a Christian. Even when we give our tithes and our offerings, we do it because it teaches us that a Christian is a giver. A Christian makes sacrifices. A Christian has faith and believes in all the things that are possible with God. And the Bible teaches us that there are two symbols of salvation. You know it. The first is communion, which is what we do once a month at the very first week. And the other is baptism, which we're going to have baptism today. But because of the storm, we're postponing it. So I say this, if you're planning to get baptized, do not postpone it. Just get ready to do it. Amen? So I want to talk about the importance of being baptized. Because I think many people really don't know why we do it. So there's some things that you should know. And first of all, Jesus actually commands us to get baptized. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. He says, go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Any Christian who wants to follow Jesus will be baptized. And notice that there is an order. He says, first, make them my disciples. Second, baptize them. Third, teach them all about the Christian life. Many times people think, well, I need to mature first and grow up before I get baptized. In other words, the local version of that is, I got to get my act together. I want to tell you, baptism is the initiation to the Christian life. It's not the graduation. You see, baptism demonstrates that I am really a believer. Acts chapter 18:8. Crispus, who was the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with all his family, and many other people in Corinth heard the message, believed, and were baptized. So how do you know if you are a believer? The Bible says when we are obeying God's commands. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. You see, we are believers when we choose to obey Christ. In other words, baptism is you and I saying, now I am a follower of Christ and my life belongs to him. So what happens when I'm baptized? It is saying the old me, the old Alex, I leave behind. And now there's a new me rising up in Christ. There's a new man. The old man is left behind. And we illustrate it by using water. By laying down in the water, meaning dying to the old, and coming up again, meaning there's new. It's a symbol of my heart saying, I have chosen to live a life that is pleasing to Christ. So baptism is a visual picture because everybody's watching. You know, when you're on Coconut Island and you think that maybe there's only 100 people on the island at that moment where you're going in the water? No, you know, from Hilo, Hawaiian, they're watching. What's going on over there? Everybody's watching. But when you give your life to Christ, Jamin usually comes up and he says a prayer at the end of the message, giving you an opportunity to do something very personal. Eyes closed, heads bowed. When you give your life to Christ, it's a personal decision. Nobody should be watching. But when you get baptized, you are saying to the Lord that you belong to Him. You're saying to the world, you belong to Jesus. You're saying to the devil, you belong to Jesus. Lay off. And so baptism is a picture that I have died to my old ways. And I have invited Jesus into my life and became a new person. And now I live a brand new life by being baptized. Everybody understand all this? Good. Romans 6:4. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. Baptism does not make you a believer. It just shows that you are already a believer. Baptism doesn't save you. Only your faith in Christ saves you. And I like to put it this way. Baptism is the wedding ring of a Christian life. I had to practice earlier to see if it would come off my finger. 49 years. When Berna and I got married, we exchanged vows and we exchanged rings. The ring is a reminder that I love her very much with all my heart. Now, if I lost this ring, I would still be married. It's not going to change anything. Because in my heart, I am committed to my wife. What this ring is an outward reminder of an inward commitment. Baptism is the wedding ring of a Christian life. It shows the world what's already in your heart. We must remember that just coming to church does not make you a Christian. Think about this. If you sit in a chicken coop, does that make you a chicken? You come to church, does not mean you're a Christian. Just taking communion does not make you a Christian. Just doing good things and keeping the Ten Commandments does not make you a Christian. It is only by faith in Christ, you giving your life to Him, you belonging to Him. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Many of them believed His message and were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the group that day. You see, as soon as you put your faith in Christ, you can get baptized. You're ready. Some people think, well, I got to go through that 21 Bible studies and all that kind of stuff before I can get baptized. Not so. This is what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to answer some questions here because these are the questions that the people ask. Can we be baptized as a family? Yes, you can. But let me say something. If you're waiting on your spouse or you're waiting on somebody else, don't wait. Bible says get baptized now. Can children be baptized if they understand? Yes. And so it would be part of your responsibility to teach them what baptism is. What should you wear? Wear something that covers you up good. And when it's wet, it's not transparent. I mean, just think. Be wise. Another question is, do I have to say something? We usually just introduce you, yell out your name. Hey, this is Tom. And all your church family, remember now, everybody's watching. Even the people up on the Hilo Hawaiian. Tom! Because they're going to cheer you on. What you're doing is good. And when they reintroduce you, we'll just say the words. We baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I used to have fun with the guys that I knew that needed to stay underwater a long time. I was one of them. And I would say, invite your friends, even those that don't know the Lord, because they may ask the question, what made you decide to follow Christ? And then you will answer, it was His great passion for me. Jamie, would you come up? Thanks so much for letting me share today.
Another hand for Pastor Alex. If you never, ever, ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preach, that was it. I mean, you can go to churches, you can go listen to televangelists that speak the most solid, emotional messages that's life-altering. I mean, and they give you tips on your marriage, on life, and how to live as a Christian. But when they leave out the purpose and the message of the cross, you leave there a better person. But when you leave here, understanding who Jesus Christ is life-changing for eternal. And this is the opportunity that we like to give you, is we'd like to let you know who Jesus Christ is. Because I believe that there's people who've been attending church for over 20 years and sitting in service for a very long time who actually don't know what Christ did for you. And they sit here and they think they're saved because of church attendance, good works, good deeds, morality. But the message I just heard said that we are only saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we're not asking you to immediately change your life because you make this commitment. And I seen this show yesterday. It was called Concussion. Okay, I seen Concussion. And Pastor Alex said that he did not know the commitment that he made when he made the commitment, but he was willing to work at it. And this is what Will Smith, he took this lady up on this nice hill where he put a down payment on a house. And he only dated her once. She was his roommate. They only had one date, and he looked at her and he says, I know I don't know you too well, but will you marry me? We can fall in love later. And I was like, wow. I look at my wife. I said, wow, that's good, right? And that is what it is. This is what we're saying. We gave you the information, and it's up to you what you do with the information. And Jesus Christ has died for our sins. And if you can believe that, you will be saved. Everything else will be a result and a direct result of believing that. Amen? If you'd like to close your eyes and bow your heads with me, we'll say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I confess my sins to you. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I thank you for loving me. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. And if you had said this for the first time, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to just lift a hand. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we get to hear your gospel spoken in truth from a heart of love, that we would want to receive your Son as Savior in our life. Father, we thank you for giving us the message of hope, the message of redemption. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.